This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hare Krishna to all the listeners. I am very happy to present my short talk number 59 today from the book. The title is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, I will finish first just one last para of chapter 29. And then I will start today's new chapter, number 30, titled Krishna's Hiding from the Gopis. On page 233 onwards. So, I begin the remaining para first. The gopis, however, soon begin to feel very proud, thinking themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe due to being favored by the company of Krishna. Lord Krishna, who is known as Keshav, could immediately understand their pride caused by their great fortune of enjoying him personally, and in order to show them his causeless mercy and to curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene, exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always full with six kinds of opulences. And this is an instance of the opulence of renunciation. This renunciation confirms Krishna's total non-attachment. He is always self-sufficient and is not dependent on anything. This is the platform on which his transcendental pastimes are enacted. Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purport of the 29th chapter of Krishna, the Ras Dance Introduction. Now, chapter 30, Krishna's Hiding from the Gopis. When Krishna suddenly disappeared from the company of the gopis, they searched for him everywhere. After not finding him anywhere, they became afraid and almost mad after him. They were simply thinking of the pastimes of Krishna in great love and affection. Being absorbed in thought of him, they experienced loss of memory, and with dampened eyes, they begin to see the very pastimes of Krishna. His beautiful talks with them, his embarrassing, kissing and other activities. Being so attracted to Krishna, they imitated his dancing, his walking, and his smiling, as if they themselves were Krishna. Due to Krishna's absence, they all became crazy. Each one of them told the others that she was Krishna himself. Soon they all assembled together and chanted Krishna's name very loudly as they moved from one part of the forest to another, searching for him. Actually, Krishna is all pervasive. He is in the sky and he is in the forest. He is within the heart and he is always everywhere. The gopis, therefore, begin to question the trees and plants about Krishna. There were various types of big trees and small plants in the forest, and the gopis addressed them. Dear banyan tree, have you seen the son of Maharaja Nanda passing this way, laughing and playing on his flute? He has stolen our hearts and gone away. If you have seen him, kindly inform us which way he has gone. Dear Ashoka tree, dear Naga flower tree, in Champaka flower tree, have you seen the younger brother of Balaram pass this way? He has disappeared because of our pride. The gopis were aware of the reason for Krishna's sudden disappearance. They could understand that when they had been enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate women within the universe. And since they were feeling proud, Krishna had disappeared immediately just to curb their pride. Krishna does not like this, his devotees to be proud of their service to him. He accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to proudly consider himself better than others. If sometimes there are such feelings, Krishna ends them by changing his attitude toward the devotee. The gopis then address the Tulsi plants. Dear Tulsi, you are much beloved by Lord Krishna because your leaves are always at his lotus feet. Dear Malati flower, dear Mallika flower, dear Jasmine flower, all of you must have been touched by Krishna while he was passing this way after giving us transcendental enjoyment. Have you seen Madhav passing this way? O mango trees, O trees of jackfruit, O pear trees and asana trees, O blackberries and bile trees, and trees of the kadamba flower. You are all very pious trees to be living on the bank of the Yamuna. Krishna must have passed through this way. Will you kindly let us know which way he has gone? The gopis then looked upon the ground they were traversing and began to address the earth. Dear earthly planet, we do not know how many penances and austerities you have undergone to be now living with the footprints of Lord Krishna upon you. you are very jolly. The hairs on your body are these jubilant trees and plants. Lord Krishna must have been very much pleased with you. Otherwise, how could he have embraced you in the form of Varaha the boar? When you were submerged in water, he delivered you, taking the whole weight of your existence on his tusks. After addressing the innumerable trees and plants and the earth, they turned their faces toward the beautiful deer, who were looking at them very pleasingly. It appears they addressed the deer that Krishna, who is the Supreme Narayan himself, must have passed through this way along with his companion. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Otherwise, how is it possible that the aroma of his garland, which is smeared with the red kumkum from the breast of the goddess of fortune, can be perceived in the breeze blowing here? It appears that they must have passed through here and touched your bodies. And thus you are feeling so pleasant and are looking toward us with sympathy. Will you kindly therefore inform us which way Krishna has gone? Krishna is the well-wisher of Vrindavan. He is as kind to you as to us. Therefore, after leaving us, he must have been present in your company. O fortunate trees, we are thinking of Krishna, the younger brother of Balaram, while passing through here, with one hand resting on the shoulder of the goddess of fortune and the other hand twirling a lotus flower, he must have been very much pleased to accept your obeisances, and he must have glanced at you with great pleasure. Some of the gopis then addressed their gopi friends. Dear friends, why don't you question these creepers who are so jubilantly embracing the big trees as if the trees were their husbands? It appears that the flowers of the creepers must have been touched by the nails of Krishna. Otherwise, how could they feel so jubilant? After searching for Krishna here and there, the gopis became fatigued, and then they began to talk like mad women. They could satisfy themselves only by imitating the different pastimes of Krishna. One of them imitated the demon Putana, and one of them imitated Krishna and sucked her breast. One gopi imitated a hand-driven cart, and another gopi laid down beneath the cart and threw up her legs, touching the wheels of the cart, as Krishna did to kill the demon Sakatasura. One gopi imitated child Krishna and lay down on the ground. And one gopi became the demon Tranavarta and carried the small child Krishna by force into the sky. And one of the gopis began to imitate Krishna while he was attempting to walk, ringing his ankle bells. Two gopis imitated Krishna and Balaram, and many others imitated their cowherd boyfriends. One gopi assumed the form of Bakasura, and another forced her to fall down as the demon Bakasura did when he was killed. Similarly, another gopi defeated Vatsasura, just as Krishna used to call his cows by their different names. So the gopis imitated him, calling the cows by their respective names. One of the gopis began to play on a flute, and another praised her the way Krishna's boyfriends praised him while he played on his flute. One of the gopis took another gopi on her shoulders, just as Krishna used to take his boyfriends. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, the gopi who was carrying her friend began to boast that she herself was Krishna. All of you, just see my movement. One of the gopis raised her hand with her covering garments and said, "Now, don't be afraid of the torrents of rain and severe hurricanes. I will save you." In this way, she imitated the lifting of Govardhana Hill. One gopi forcibly put her feet on the head of another gopi and said, "You rascal Kaliya, I shall punish you severely. You must leave this place. I have descended to this earth and to punish all kinds of miscreants." Another gopi told her friends, "Just see, the flames of the forest fire are coming to devour us. Please close your eyes and I shall immediately save you from the imminent danger." In this way, all the gopis were madly feeling the absence of Krishna. They inquired about him from the trees and plants. In some places, they found the imprints of the marks on the soles of his feet, namely the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, the thunderbolt, etc. After seeing those footprints, they exclaimed, "Oh, here is the impression of the marks on the soles of Krishna's feet. All the marks, such as the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, and the thunderbolt, are distinctly visible here." They begin to follow the footprints, and shortly they saw another set of footprints beside them. And immediately they became very furry. They became very sorry. Dear friends, just see, whose are these other footprints? They are beside the footprints of the son of Maharaja Nanda. It is certainly Krishna passing through, resting his hand on some other gopi, exactly as an elephant goes side by side with his beloved mate. We must therefore understand that this particular gopi served Krishna with great affectionate love than ourselves. Because of this, although he has left us, he could not leave her company. He has taken her along with him. Dear friends, just imagine how the dust of this place is transcendently glorious. The dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is worshipped even by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. But at the same time, we are very sorry that this particular gopi has gone along with Krishna, for she is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's kisses and leaving us aside to lament. Oh, friends, just see, at this particular spot, we do not see the footprints of that gopi. It appears that because there are some pinpricks from the dried grass, Krishna took Radharani on his shoulder. Oh, she is so dear to him. Krishna must have picked some flowers in this spot to satisfy Radharani, because here, where he stood erect to get the flowers from the high branches of the tree, we find only half the impression of his feet. Dear friends, just see how Krishna must have sat down here with Radharani and tried to set flowers in her hair. You can be certain that both of them sat together here. Krishna is self-sufficient. He has nothing to enjoy from any other source. Just to satisfy his devotee, he treated Radharani exactly as a lusty boy treats his girlfriend. Krishna is so kind that he always tolerates the disturbances created by his girlfriends. I would like to stop here because of the time constraint. I am very happy to know from the records, the responses, that a lot of people are taking keen interest in listening these nectarian talks. This gives me a great pleasure to feel very happy that my talks, they are being listened by several friends, devotees, colleagues in so many various parts of the world. Many people, they listen these talks at their own convenience. And this is the beauty of these talks, which are timely released from Manavar to People's Radio Center, based in a very beautiful scenic city, Palmerston North. And in general, people are listening these talks with great interest, very attentively. And I'm sure that these talks, which are so wonderful, describing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, are getting a lot of benefit, because these things, they are directly, closely related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So I would like to stop here and thank you very much for your attention.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.